Well, hello. I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. Last podcast of the week. I gave you 7 this week. How about that? Good stuff. Going forward, it's going to be a little difficult. More difficult, though. I mean, we'll do a lot of Senior Bowl, I think, over these next 2 weeks. I told you I'm now affiliated with NDT Scouting. I'm going to be ahead of my draft prep where I've been the last couple years. So I'm pretty excited about that. So we'll do more draft stuff than we've done in the past for January, February. You know, it's still 4 months away until the draft. 2 months away until free agency, basically. And we'll have a Super Bowl to break down and these two games to break down going forward. But filling space will be a little more difficult than it was this week. That's why I wanted to crowd in those 7 for you and really flood you with some good content. But let's talk about these two games. Jacksonville heads to the Patriots. Pulled up here on my bookie, our buddies, and the Patriots are 7.5-point favorites. I think, and I haven't checked it earlier in the week, but I think that it has gone down from 7.5. Or I think it was like 9, 9.5. And I assume that's all surrounding Brady's thumb hand situation. And I don't know anything about that. I mean, I'm not going to pretend like, oh, he's not playing, or he's going to be 100%, or he's going to be 30%, or 85%. I don't know. I have no idea. I bet my ass he's going to play. I mean, he's going to be out there. I do think it's going to be a pretty run-heavy script either way. And maybe you lean that way even a little bit more if his hand is a problem. It's an interesting injury because, I mean, you can't get a shot. You can't have any, you know, like and kill the feeling in your hand. You'd throw the ball with no touch at all, and you'd probably have a hard time holding it in the pocket and, you know, when you get hit and those type of things. So I guess you just play through it, and what kind of apparatus can you put on there, or, you know, padded glove or whatever. I know he's been using a glove lately. So depending how bad it is, it'll be interesting how he prepares for it, or, you know, just guts it out a little bit. But I'm sure he's going to play. I think that the Jags... If I'm Brady, I'm Belichick, this would probably be the defense that I chose last to play against in the league. Because they're just so talented. There's not a spot that you say, boy, I'm going to get that linebacker in coverage and abuse him all day long. You know, even match up to Gronk pretty well, you know, as no team does. But I think we will see... Brady hand aside, I'm done talking about that. I don't know the answer to that. So we'll find out more as we go. But I do think you're going to see a fair amount of double tight end sets. Cook split out wide as a deep threat to scare you. Devlin, Lewis, 22 personnel. And that doesn't mean you can't take Gronk and detach him and basically work out of base personnel. So I think you're going to try to force... And what does Jacksonville answer for that? Do they stick in a 4-3 with Darius on the field? Or do they bring added big personnel? I don't know. But I think the Patriots not only have one of the best run games in the league, but they'll stick with it. And it's not going to go... The game's not going to be 21-0 before you know it, like Pittsburgh. I mean, sorry, Jags fans. That's not happening in New England. I'm going to get more to this, but it just dawned on me, too, because I was looking at something for, like, Daily Fantasy. If you were to put a chip down, or if you play Daily Fantasy or whatever, who would you rather have for fantasy this week? Deion Lewis or Leonard Fournette? And I guess I'm kind of screwing myself up here because the other backs now are pretty healthy in New England, so maybe Lewis doesn't have the workload he has while Burkhead is out. But I absolutely think... the running back total production for New England will far exceed that for Jacksonville. So you can see where I'm going with this. I think they'll run the ball well, and I think they'll stick with it, and it might be very tough going, but I think that eventually pops. You know, that's a hard thing to keep wrapped up for a long stretch if you're, you know, a Jaguars road team that has played a lot of football in a row. You know, you haven't had any buys. And in the passing game, I think you'll see... Here's what's interesting to me. First off, I think Brady will take some hits. And maybe that hand hits a helmet in the first quarter, or he falls weird on it. or in general, even if he's 100% healthy, we know less than ever is he enthused about getting hit. Understandable. He's almost my age, and I'm old. So I think he will take some hits. How often will they challenge them deep? He hasn't been a great deep passer. He struggled more against man coverage. I think you'll see, but contrary to popular belief, the Jags only play man coverage about 25% of the time. I think they will bump that number up. I think you'll see less cover three, less base zone stuff, less Seattle, you know, one single high stuff and play more man than they have. But I think that the key here isn't what style of coverage they play as much as try to be a little less predictable because they are a predictable group. They're an execution-based defense, as I've told you many times. But I think that they'll probably do what they do. And where I'm going with that is because I've heard a handful of people saying, and I'm intrigued by it, maybe you should play this one like you play pickup hoops and just say, you got this dude, I got this dude, you got that dude, and say, hey, Patrick Ramsey, you got Gronk. You know, you're going to follow him around on the court all day long. You're our best guy, they're their best guy. Let's see what you can do. And that's great, but that's not how they play defense. So you would be doing something you don't usually do, and that affects the other 10 defensive players on the field a great deal. And I think that while in a nutshell, Ramsey could probably cover Gronk as well as any player in the league because he is big and physical and he moves better than Gronk. But what are the Patriots going to do? What do you think? This is what they would do. They would bring in Gronk close to the formation, which means Ramsey's playing like a overhang linebacker, and Gronk's going to come off the ball and put him on his back, and Deion Lewis is going to run right at him. And a fullback. You know, and they're going to do that to him over and over and over because the Jags aren't going to be up 21-0. So I think you do what you do. And in terms of Gronk, you get a lot of Miles Jack, Telvin Smith, safety help for sure. So I think those four will be more Gronk-oriented. And even against the Steelers, like as great as Antonio Brown is, Ramsey didn't just play the left side the whole time, or Bouye didn't just play the right corner position, but they also didn't travel with Brown. Ramsey has been known to do that, but they like Bouye so much that they often don't because Bouye's almost as good, you know. So Brown went up against both players, even though you'd see Ramsey, you know, playing on the right side, which he usually doesn't do. I hope I explained that all right. So I would think that's how you handle this, too, that I don't think one travels with Cook or Hogan, and Amendola out of the slot's got a tough matchup with Colvin as well. But I think the run defense is a problem, and I think it's going to be a long afternoon from that. Like this, they might do a really good job of hitting Brady and keeping this game close, but I think when the second half rolls around, the Brady and Belichick and those guys in McDaniel will find cracks, will find things that are working, and the running game will start to pop. On the other side of the ball, I've been saying this all week here in Pittsburgh, that I'm betting that Belichick and Patricia make the Steelers defensive staff, coaching staff, look really bad on this day. That we know what Jacksonville's going to bring. We're not going to screw up our gap assignments or alignments. We're not going to bite on play action because we know that's what they do. We're going to play a ton of man coverage. And I don't think they even care. I'm not sure you even travel Butler with one and Gilmore with the other. But I would think Butler's probably the better guy versus Westbrook, just from a speed size perspective. And Lee would probably get more of Gilmore. But if they get swapped, so be it. I do think Hearns could have a real nice matchup, though. But is Allen Hearns going to beat you? And their tight ends don't do much. And I think Belichick's going to leave those corners, high-paid corners, you know, high-end guys, on islands, more or less, and have a spy on Bortles. You know, usually man coverage, you can be susceptible to quarterback runs. I don't think he's going to allow that to happen. And keep a lot of big bodies near the line of scrimmage and say, okay, Jacksonville, come out in your 22 personnel and try to push around Brown and these big body defensive linemen and we're not biting on play action, and we're going to stay where we're at, and you know, we're going to hold our ground and protect the flats much better than Pittsburgh did. And I think they win in the trenches too, especially in the run game. They might not get a lot of pressure on Bortles, but they have rushed the passer much better lately. And go back and just look at the Patriots' numbers since their Week 9 bye on defense. The defense has gotten pretty darn good. I've been saying that I think the three best defenses in the league are still alive, New England not being one of those three. But they've played like a top 10 defense the last 2 months, 3 months, you know, whatever, you know, since Week 9, basically. And they're figuring it out. So in the end here, I really think Jacksonville doesn't score points. I mean, I think that this is under 13 points for the Jags. Unless, of course, pick six, scoop and score. And this defense is very capable, but we know Brady's not exactly the turnover king. You know, and barring an injury to his hand or being much worse than we suspect. I mean, that's going to be tough, by the way. I just think that this game might be 10-7 at half. And then 17-7, then it's 27, then it's 24-10, and Lewis is breaking off 7-8. They're, Brady's more comfortable in the pocket, and they just eventually pull away. So, I guess I should mention this then. I will take the Pats to win, and I'll give you 7.5. I can see this being a close game. Because Jags D is really, really good. Like I said, it's a tough matchup. But I think as the game goes on and fatigue sets in and long afternoon in Foxborough, the second half belongs to New England and they won't relent. All right, second game. 6:40 start in Philly. The Eagles are getting 3 at home. Back-to-back games where the number one seed is getting points in the NFC. Two former Jeff Fisher quarterbacks that didn't have starting jobs when the season began. From what I understand, weather, I mean, it's an outdoor game for Keenum. And Keenum and the offense has not done as well outdoors as they have indoors. And it's I have a lot of respect for Eagles fans. This is going to be a nasty environment and a really revved up stadium and green everywhere. And they want this Super Bowl berth bad. And they're a great fan base. But I don't think the weather is supposed to be very bad. You know, I don't think it's supposed to be particularly windy. I don't think it's going to be crazy cold. It's starting to warm up around here. I mean, we're both in Pennsylvania. So I don't know that weather will be a massive factor. Let's talk. We'll talk when the Vikes have the ball. First off, Keenum's much better than Foles. The biggest thing, and this is gigantic, that worries me if I'm a Vikings fan, is their offensive line is starting to crumble. Nothing like last year. But it's below average. I mean, it's not good right now. And the right tackle situation is a real problem in particular. And man, this is a brutal assignment. You know, that it's not a front four, it's a front 10. That they just keep bringing guys out. Long and Barnett and Graham and Curry. And against that right tackle, I think you just rotate those dudes. Just keep a fresh body coming after that fresh meat. You know, Shawshank, fresh fish. And you just keep bringing dudes at Hill, their right tackle, and try to get him to get a, you know, and it'd be a really difficult to get a bead on any of them. And oh, by the way, Jernigan and Cox and the rest of those guys are a real handful. So for Philly to win this game, their defensive line has to be the MVP, and they absolutely are capable. And I think Keenum will get hit. Keenum's done a great job this year, though, of avoiding sacks, even though his line has allowed pressure. It's been good quarterbacking. It's smart quarterbacking. Throw it away or get out of the way of pressure. Some's with his feet, some's with his arm, some's with his head. But not taking key sacks. That's going to be a real challenge, though, this week. The secondary for Philly. Safeties are good, and I think they'll match up well against Rudolph, who's a quality tight end for sure. But I think Diggs and Thielen are problems. If Minnesota can protect, and maybe you have to revert to a short passing game, they have big advantages at the wide receiver position. Robinson is probably the best corner for Philly, and he'll play the slot, and he'll get Thielen a lot. But Thielen's better. I mean, Thielen's awesome. And Diggs is playing extremely well and is very, very talented. So I think that's a big, big advantage. The Vikes have run the ball well. It's been more Murray than McKinnon. But I can't say I project that to continue. I mean, I don't think either one of these teams runs away with it. So I think they'll be able to stick with their running game. And maybe they start to gouge him a little bit as the game goes on or get McKinnon involved. He's kind of a battering ram, but in a good receiver as well. So I think the running game ends up 85 yards on the ground, another 30 yards receiving from their backs. But maybe that's enough. I mean, I don't think you need to score 30 to win this game. So that's a tough matchup. I mean, just because that Eagles D-line is so good, and man, that could wreck the whole game for Minnesota. They could shut the Vikings out. I mean, that could happen. And Keenum could get sacked 9 times, you know, and they could average 2.1 yards per rush. I don't think that's crazy talk. The other side of the ball, though. I mean, let me take a quick step back. The four quarterbacks that are left, Brady stands alone, clearly. You don't need me to tell you that. Foles and Bortles, to me, are bottom feeders, are not starting caliber quarterbacks or below average at best. Keenum doesn't belong with them. Keenum stands alone here. I'm saying that there's a big gap from Brady to Keenum and a big gap from Keenum to those two. Like, they don't have to hide him. Minnesota has to hide Foles. He handles pressure very poorly. Third downs have totally deteriorated, and Wentz used to be the best we've seen in a long time on third downs. The Vikings' defense on third down is unbelievable. I mean, it's historically good. You're going to get Rhodes on Alshon, I think, exclusively. And that might be the only shadow situation of the weekend. And it certainly favors the Vikes. Torrey Smith's okay. I like Aguilar. But Aguilar's going to get Alexander and Newman. Smith's going to get Waynes. I don't think those are massive advantages. Ertz could do some things, but Harris and Smith and their linebackers are really good against the tight end. I do think Minnesota's front and run defense, I said this last week, is a smidge overrated. You know, it's not as good as the Eagles. It's a very good group. Their defensive ends are great penetrators or great pass rushers off the edge. Linval Joseph is a power player. Johnson's a good player. The linebackers are active and they're well coached and they'll pepper A gaps and blitz and they do what they do. But I think they can be run on a little. And Philly absolutely has to do that. And it has to be mostly Ajayi. And I've been calling for a while, and we're seeing more and more of it. This is why you trade for the guy, you know, to lean on him, to make him the guy, and just keep running it and keep running it. And that Eagles offensive line is exceptional. I do think Big V at left tackle, though, is in for a long day. Not as bad as the Vikings right tackle, but I think he's in for a long day. And I just don't trust Foles, especially under pressure, and I do think he'll get some pressure. And this is one of those games where punting's okay. Don't make the big mistake. I mean, that's absolutely huge. But I think Minnesota's better. I'll give you 3, but that's like the perfect line. If this was 3.5, I might take the Eagles. If it was 2.5, I'd take the Vikes. I think the Vikes, like, win by 3. I mean, 2017, something like that, down the wire. Every yard's tough to get. Very, very physical game. Good tackling teams. I don't think people will break free from sloppy defensive play. So it should be a fun one. It should really be a fun one. But I just think the quarterback advantage is too great for Minnesota. Foles is not a good player.